It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe that August is almost behind us, depending on when you're listening to this. Either August 28th, Saturday, after the 9 o'clock news, or Sunday the 29th, also after the 9 o'clock news. I want to give a big shout-out to my last week's guest, who appeared on August 21st, and that is Brian Hetrick. And Brian is a board member of an organization called Excellence North Alliance, which is the Baldrige Performance Excellence organization in the state of New Hampshire. And he was primarily talking about how to make excellence exciting. So we put our shows on our website, nedelta.com. So if you're interested in knowing how to make customer service exciting, and I think based on my experiences calling different internet providers during the pandemic, I think that a lot of people could probably use listening to that show. But in any event, Brian will be talking about making excellence exciting, and he did that on August 21st and 22nd. But this weekend with me, August 28th and 29th, is Kathy Walker, who is the fabulous director of marketing and communications at Northeast Delta Dental and has worked with me for about 27 years. We both started circa 1995. In Kathy's case, she started to work at age 16, and I started to work at age 26. Now, if you believe that data, then call me after class. But everything else that Kathy will say today is true. So Kathy will be talking about communicating during a crisis. So Kathy, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you spend a tremendous amount of time with me during the week, and now you have me on the weekend. So hopefully that's okay for work-family balance.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom, for the invitation.
Thank you. And, of course, one of our points that we will be making is once the COVID-19 hit for real on or about March 16th, the communications turned into 24/7, 365. And, for example, I have written to our employees every day, as you know, for well over 350 straight, business days. And I'm also putting the finishing touches on my third book called How to Survive and Thrive Through a Crisis, The Importance of Building and Maintaining a Strong Foundation. And one of the major points of the book is the importance of communication. So Kathy, what's it like to be the person responsible for communications, during a crisis? You were the woman.
Well, thank you. Well, Tom, it was, we've been together for almost 27 years, and in my profession, in the public relations communications profession, we prepare and we study, and we're always ready for a disaster or a crisis. It could be any type of crisis communication that might be needed at any time, 24/7. And I never expected to have such incredible, incredible experience in the pandemic. And so it was a huge surprise for me when it was coming. We were prepared, and it was all I can say is it just was like being on a roller coaster ride and never getting off. And
great way of describing it. There was a lot of bonding, and I think probably you'll make the point that it really did take a team of experts. So tell us about that. Of course, we had a pandemic committee, and we had experts on what's going on with the actual virus, but we have a team led by Mike Bourbeau dealing with the technology, and then, of course, you had a CEO that wanted to be reaching out to all of his stakeholders, so we were doing videos, emails, letters, everything. So tell us how that all kind of came together for you.
Well, it was really interesting because I really am the face in the company for the three states, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, when it comes to communication. And in this case, I became the face internally in a very, very big way. And what made it so exciting for me is that we had some experts in every single department, and everyone rose to the occasion. And what was critical for me was to have the information I needed from all the experts in the company. And so we gathered together for, we always were meeting on a regular basis for in case of a crisis, and we had a preparedness plan, a disaster recovery plan in place, including a communication plan. But then all of a sudden, we knew we had to meet daily and then discuss each section of each segment of the company, the finance side of things, the legal side, the information systems, the stakeholders, and together, this is what made it really exciting for me, is that now I had an opportunity to be able to communicate to all of our stakeholders in a very smart and succinct way. And if you needed clarification, there was always someone there to proofread, to respond. And my best story was once I mentioned something to you, Tom, and I needed an answer, and you said, you know, you have email. Just write me. I'm here. and I appreciated that, because we felt we could just go to town and write to people and communicate and be on Zooms and call. And it's what made all the engines run.
Exactly. Well put. So we obviously had a disaster recovery plan, which one of the themes of my book is you need that. It needs to be constantly updated, and you have to have the foundation, because then you can thrive during the chaos of the crisis, as opposed to survive. And there's a huge difference in that. But tell us what you learned about disaster recovery planning, including that you really have to keep that up to date. It can't be just on the bookshelf.
That's correct. And things change. Lots of different tools change, communication tools. And for example, we were working with a software company for our media relations distribution. And way back when we were working on the plan, I discovered, what we do is we test every step of the way, and I discovered that this software, this company we work with, didn't work on weekends. They shut down. And that right there was a concern. We completely moved our business to another company that would be there 24/7 for us if we had any issues, because disasters just don't happen during the week. So that was one major aha moment for us. And the other one was we talked about our eConnections team. We have a group of folks who manage people, but they love being on the eConnections team and work on social media. And once the pandemic hit and we were all home, or most of us were remote, we looked at the folks who are the managers who were on the eConnections team, and they all had at least a dozen direct reports that they had to think about and worry about and work with, and they had no time to do social media, and we shifted that to other people right away. And we already had some vendors in place to be on call 24/7.
Awesome. So, and you're doing this, obviously, you know, working from home. So tell us about that experience, as well as we know that in addition to having thousands of businesses that have coverage, and so we can reach, you know, 5,000 human resource directors who really are the key people, but we also have close to 1 million people that have our dental insurance, and we also obviously, you know, use Facebook. So let's parse out those questions. So talking about the B to C, or business to consumer, how did you contemplate, how are we going to reach you know, close to a million people? Let's start with that question.
Oh, that's a good question. We maintain lists of all of our stakeholders, and we keep them up to date, and we also have them in place. And this is really interesting. We had all of the data in place and ready to go. And this would include our stakeholders that, our decision makers. Now that we're talking about small business, anyone who makes a decision in the company, we have their name and their contact information, their email. And the mailing list was ready to go because every 2 months or so, we are communicating with them anyway. So the list was really up to date. And then we used a software called a Constant Contact. And in minutes, all we really needed was the right content. The formatting is already there. We know how to communicate, and off it went in seconds.
And then, of course, you have your crazy CEO, me, who says, you know what? I want to be like FDR and do some fireside chat. So we called in our videographer, and one take, Tom did some stuff. Thank God you were on board. So we're going to go to a Delta Dental commercial break, probably talking about that everybody deserves a healthy smile. And then once we listen to that commercial, we'll return and we'll talk about now internal communications, making sure that all of our employees, understood strategically what was going on. So after that Delta Dental commercial, we'll return with Kathleen B. Walker, APRMS, all these fancy titles, which basically means she's an expert in communications, and she is Northeast Delta Dental's Marketing Communications Director. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this weekend with me is Kathy Walker, who is our Director of Marketing Communications at Northeast Delta Dental. And Kathy and I, as Kathy mentioned, we've been working together for about 27 years. We started at 6 Loudon Road, and a few years later moved to our beautiful location in what was then known as the CRUD Corridor, now it's known as the Opportunity Corridor at 1 and 2 Delta, and Kathy was responsible for a lot of those communications. So now fast forward a quarter of a century. If that doesn't make you feel old, Kathy, I don't know what won't, what will. And the pandemic hits, and so all the normal communications that we do to businesses had to be amplified to also reach their employees. And so as Kathy was starting to explain all the different ways we use Constant Contact and videos and so forth. And also we have 1,900 participating dentists, and I was constantly needing to communicate with them as well, because from March 16th to about mid-May, dentists could only see emergencies, so they really weren't in business for 2 months. And we needed to communicate with them, and we gave them grants, and we gave them free personal protection equipment. So constantly communicating with the dental community, and to this day, every Sunday, I give them an update. And then, of course, we communicated with our businesses to give them premium relief and all of that, the premium relief and the dentist relief, all of that totaled about $27 million. And it's never easy to give away money because all that had to be approved by regulators, so it involves communicating with regulators. But if you want more on that, you're going to have to get my book, Kathy, How to Survive and Thrive Through a Crisis. And I'll work with Michael at Gibson's to get it there, hopefully shortly after Labor Day. But let's now talk about internal communications, because the external communications were only possible because we were a juggernaut inside the company between how you and I interface, your group and the executive team here, and then how we then communicated with our employees. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, what I remember most is that employees were always used to hearing from you. And so it was not unusual to receive emails, and and, you know, you talk about what's going on. And then we also had four meetings a year, all colleagues meetings, Tom, which was, you know, in person. But all of a sudden now, employees were going home and working remote, and not all of them, maybe I'm thinking on my team of six, only two were used to being at home and working remote. So all of a sudden, we had to communicate with them by phone and set up phone calls while they were set up remotely at home. So within, it wasn't even more than a day or two when everyone was online and prepared to now receive the same emails that they received from you when they were in the office.
And we were lucky because we had a great IT team, information technology team, led
correct.
By Mike Bourbeau. And obviously, you know, on March 16th, when we started having to go home, everybody had iPhones and iPads, but there's a difference mm-hmm. between, you know, having an iPhone and the types of communications sometimes that require a secure, you know, desktop. So the IT mm-hmm. team outfitted everybody. So during the course of March and April, everybody started getting all of their computer needs met at home, which allowed all of this communication to occur, which, of course, had to be secure because many of employees now working from home were, you know, processing claims that normally were processed when you're in One Delta. Now you're doing that from home, so all of the HIPAA regulations and everything that's required has to be done in a secure way, and Mike's team did a great job. But the secondary benefit of that is that then allowed me to, you know, literally reach out daily and tell people, you know, what was going on in terms of, you know, the company plans. And we temporarily had to furlough a few people because between March 16th and May 11th, there were very few claims, and so there was very little activity. But all those people came back, but I was able to reach out to them, including the folks that were furloughed, and I had a separate database of furloughed employees that I made sure they knew that, hey, you know, here is the trends. You'll probably come back in June or July, and that's basically, you know, what happened. But the fact that Kathy's team and my team were constantly talking always gave me the correct, you know, material. So I made sure that you know, that employees had the information, so they felt, you know, really confident. So thank you, Kathy, for that. And while all that was going on, life still goes on. So tell us about your work with the various nonprofits that we support normally, and then now it's COVID, so we gave out all this money, and take it from there, Kathy.
Oh, well, and what I also really love about the company is employees who are interested in growth and leadership roles have an opportunity to be assigned to a board, a nonprofit board. And I've watched some of the newer folks get involved, and they get so excited about it because they just learn so much and they feel like they're making, you know, a difference in the world. And frankly, it's meaningful work. And so I'm on the Arthritis Foundation board right now with you, Tom. And I used to be on three or four boards, but my other favorite board was the Capital Center for the Arts. It was so different from the usual oral health arena. I really liked theater, and I wanted to be involved in the community on a level of, you know, less public relations, but more about the theater. And then, of course, we have the foundation where we make grants to nonprofits. And these would be organizations that their role and their mission is to provide access to oral health care. And we do a lot of that, as you have always given me the freedom to be involved. And I appreciate that. Again, it's just very rewarding.
And when we talk about the arts, of course, I'm on the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts, and prior to you was on the Capitol, you know, center mm-hmm. of the arts. And while certainly it's a little bit outside of our oral health mission, we giving back to the community is, in fact, you know, one of our corporate values. And it's been really enlightening to see the importance of the arts, particularly during the pandemic. And we gave a special additional donation to Capitol Center of the Arts to keep them going in quote unquote during their intermission. But tell mm-hmm. us how we went ahead. We had regular board meetings on March 12th and 13th of 2020, including a foundation meeting, and then March 16th over the weekend the egg hit the fan. But we had regular meetings on the 12th and 13th. So you had recommended in the foundation, Ned, Northeast Delta Foundation Board approved several grants. But tell us how, yes. then, once we issued the check, you know, how you gave them flexibility.
That was really cool. When we make grants through the foundation, the funds can only be used for oral health and also, you know, whether it's purchasing dental equipment, dental supplies, training, and so forth. And so now it's a couple of days fast forward, and we're ordering the payments, and we've already, what we do is we notify the recipients, which is always fun to let them know that their grant has been approved. And Jen McGrath, who is one of my direct reports, makes those calls or sends those emails, and it was very exciting for her to be able to write to the recipients and say, we know we made this grant to you for this purpose, but because of the pandemic, and it was just beginning where everyone was, couldn't even think straight. Anyway, you can do whatever you can use the funds any way you need to get through this pandemic. And everyone was so appreciative. They were so worried that now they couldn't use the funds for some dental equipment because they weren't going to have patients for a while. And it was just a really cool.
That's a great story. And with your leadership, and part of that will be included in the book, you know, kind of some of the thank yous where we allowed that flexibility. So, you know, we gave grants to our dentists, we gave premium relief to our groups, we gave premium relief to individual subscribers who were on COBRA, and then we allowed flexibility to our nonprofits that we support. And I didn't even get into, we paid brokers
yes, that's right.
About $700,000 in total for the mm-hmm. month where we did premium reduction, because normally they get paid based on premium. We didn't collect the premium to give the relief to the groups, so that meant the brokers weren't going to be paid. And so one of our brilliant teammates thought of that, and so we paid them as well. So all of that requires coordination and communication, and Kathy did a lot of that. And like I said, shortly after Labor Day, when the book comes out, there'll be some additional details. And if you haven't seen our annual report, go on our website, nadelta.com, and partially the story is on the website as well in the annual report. So Kathy Walker, 27-year veteran at Northeast Delta Dental and friend and colleague, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you, Tom.
And really, Northeast Delta Dental and the community was lucky to have you. Thank you.
Well,
Tom Raffio,
thank
return
you
next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.